Our second reading, also from the Apostle Paul, is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. We are talking a lot these days about the resurrection. We ushered in this new sermon series at Easter, and the reality of what the resurrection provides. And some of us have been kind of staying in this one place, maybe for most of our faith life, where Christianity is just about, I get to go to heaven when I die. But there's so many layers of what the resurrection of Jesus has ushered in for us now. And you hear this a lot from Paul talking about these bodies. So today, isn't this fun? We're going to talk about your body. Won't that be a good time? So listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. And I want to just take our time through this. And I want us to listen to these words from the perspective of what's happening in our own bodies, but as well as those lives and the bodies around us, the ones that are maybe in our family or our friends or our neighbors or our acquaintances or our classmates, whatever's going on, just hear this in light of the circumstances that surround us within these bodies. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and we sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Isn't that great? God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, you see, God has made promises to us in his word. As a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus, thank you for redeeming our bodies for your glory. Amen. And Lord, I pray that these words you've prepared for us would go deep within, comfort, reassure, direct us, convict us, Lord God, where we have been negligent of the body, disregarding, convict us and lead us. Give us courage and strength, Lord God. Give us hope and comfort us, God, by your mercy and your grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. Good to be with you. How's your body? So fun. It's amazing to me that we live in I think this is global, okay? I'll say this sentence and then boil it down. We live in a world that seems to, I feel very strongly about this, does not value life, increasingly so. So I see, okay? I look at our culture, I look at our nation, and it seems to me, I believe that we value life less and less. The lives of those around us. And at the same time, isn't it fascinating? And I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe it's disturbing, possibly disturbing, that we are so obsessed with these bodies, that we're obsessed with trying to retain our youth, trying to return to being 18 or 19 or 22 again, right? And it's all around us all the time. Buy this product, just 4 easy doses, and your skin is going to be glorious and beautiful like a baby's bottom, soft again, right? Or how about this one? This one I've seen a lot lately. Just do these calisthenics, okay, for the next 40 days, and you're going to be chiseled like a Baumgarten boy, okay? I look at that and I think, are you kidding? Like push-ups and sit-ups and just anything but burpees, right? Let's just not do those. But there's a promise in that, right? Buy this home gym. Get this membership here. Do this and somehow you will retain or return to your youth. Or if you go to St. Augustine, oh, yeah, come on. You can go to St. Augustine, Florida, and I love this. You can go to, listen to these two words, an archaeological theme park. Who put those two words together? Archaeological theme park, right? You can go and actually you can purchase a ticket. And on their promo page, it says you can take a sip of the fountain of youth and see if you will enjoy eternal youth, I quote. Isn't that something? And people flood this place. You look at what surrounds us and all the time, it is just, we are inundated with trying to retain our youth and everyone's part of that. In 2020, we spent as a nation, okay, this is just us, $4.1 trillion on healthcare. Okay, it's a lot of money. We spent in 2020 $2.7 billion on home gyms. If you recall this thing called COVID, we all thought we were going to get in shape when, in fact, the majority put on the COVID-15. Some of you are familiar with the freshman 15, COVID hits, and it's like COVID-15, COVID-20, COVID-25, right? But we were going to get in shape, and so we spent $2.7 billion. $35 billion on gym memberships annually, and $55 billion on hair care. Think about that. In this nation alone, this is what we're spending our money on so that we shine. We just glimmer with youth regardless of your age, right? We're trying to get back to the fountain of youth and trying to restore these bodies. And again, while I would argue that we disregard the bodies of others around us, in fact, I think that we use and manipulate and exploit the bodies of those around us. All of this is going on, and isn't it interesting that the lifespan, the average lifespan in America is actually decreasing? We are not growing older. We are actually dying younger, even while we spend all of this money. So there is an issue between longing for these bodies to be youthful and strengthened and all of that again, and at the same time, we understand that we are decaying. Now, regardless of our faith, everybody knows this, right? This is not just something reserved for us as Christians. And again, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, but the truth is we all experience this in every ache, in every pain, every body and mind struggle, every wrinkle is evidence that these bodies are not going to last forever. And even as we just sang, when I come to die, because you're going to die, okay? It's going to happen for every single one of us. When I come to die, give me Jesus. Because you know what I need? I need Jesus. That's what I need. The Apostle Paul spells it out for us like this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. And we get that, right? As much as we would battle for youth and the strengthening of our bodies, we understand that outwardly we are wasting away, while inwardly we are being renewed day by day. But that day by day renewal only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. And so there is an internal strength in us that comes to us by the presence of God, even though these bodies grow older and decay, even though things fail us in these bodies, even though we ache for our youth, even though we long to be restored, the fact of the matter is because of sin, we are wasting away. Outerly. But God has given us promises that, by the way, give us hope for now and into eternity. 1 Corinthians 6, also the Apostle Paul, he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? In other words, don't you know that? Pay attention to that. Remind yourself of that. You do not belong to yourself, but to God who bought you. He bought you for a price, therefore honor God with your body. Some of us have been disregarding our body because, as we've said for almost 3 weeks now, this notion of Gnosticism, that the body is just, we will say things like, well, I'm going to die anyway, or what's the point? What's the point of doing anything that would steward this body well when it's decaying anyway? I'm not 18 anymore. I'm not 25 anymore. What's the point? And the point is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the residence of God. Isn't that awesome? Yes, that is awesome. So the Holy Spirit lives in you, has taken up residence in you, and now you are the vessel of the kingdom of God now. And God has plans for us now. Not just pie in the sky when you die, but now. Why? Because he's given you the gift of his presence in the Holy Spirit to declare the wonders of our King now. That's why we pray, let your will be done, kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right? We're going to pray that pretty soon, and we need to return to that. And God, what do you have for me now in the present, in this temple that you have taken up residence in? You have a plan for me. I want to read to you a couple texts. Honor God and care for the body. There's two things happening here. I would like us to be convicted of how we are caring for our bodies. And this isn't a beat-up session like you need to get to the gym. Because the truth is, by the way, all right, so not pointing any fingers, I do buy shampoo, okay? So we are pro-hygiene, yes? Okay, bathe, that's important. Exercise, that's important, right? Eating right, that's important, okay? You're stewarding the temple that God has given you. And at the same time, recognizing that all bodies are loved and created in the image of God. So listen to this from Psalm. I'm going to read to you from the Message. I love this paraphrase. Psalm 139. Oh, yes. This is true of all people. This is true of you. Oh, yes. You shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. That's everybody, people. Okay. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking, body and soul, I am marvelously made. Maybe you've heard the translation, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We live in a world right now that says that people buy into the lie that God has made a mistake in you. God messed up in you because you are like this, right? God makes no mistakes. And the brokenness of our lives is a result of sin. The brokenness of our bodies that we battle is a result of sin. Not because God is trying to punish you or hurt you. Jesus addresses that issue with his disciples in the Gospel of John. You know me, God. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Look, I am like an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. Right? Conception to birth. And all the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared. You saw them all even before I lived one day. That's God's heart and attitude about every life, about your body and the lives and the bodies that surround us, that we are called to honor God and care for the body. Listen to Romans 12. Also, Paul, getting a heavy dose, this is a lot of scripture. Isn't that great? And so, dear brothers and sisters, because of you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and because every life is fearfully and wonderfully made from conception to birth and the years that come after, whether long or short, because of this, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, says Paul, to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person in your body now by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God has called us to steward well his creation, right? We heard that 2 weeks ago. The beautiful world that surrounds us, but he's also called us to steward well these bodies. And I get it. I get it. When I'm sitting at a bedside in a broken body next to me, desperately in pain, I get it. These bodies will waste away. As Paul says, they will decay, right? And so we care for not just these, but those around us. Regardless of the circumstances, we care for the body. What a beautiful picture of what it looks like to honor God with these lives. That last text from Romans 12 says, you are living sacrifices, not from the NLT, but the ESV translation. You are living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It's your whole body, right? It's who you are. Regardless of what's going on and the aches and the pains and the disease, regardless, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in his sight. Paul goes on in Romans and he says, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Don't we long for that? For loved ones as well, who are just in ongoing pain and suffering, we long for them to be released, even while we hang on to them now, right? We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has prepared for us. God will restore our bodies. I will still be Dean, okay? At the resurrection of the body, at the second coming of Jesus, we will rise again and we will be restored with our new bodies promised by him. Understanding this in the meantime, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and gives life. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will give you life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. This is a promise of God in the now that looks to the future. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. This temple of God now, as Jesus resurrected, came back to life, it was that Holy Spirit that breathed life, the Ruach HaKodesh, breath of God, in him. This is saying that same Spirit lives in you right now and gives life to your mortal body every day. And so we wait for the resurrection, and in the meantime, we love and care, steward these bodies and the bodies that are around us. Now, here's the question. This is just going to be one of these things, and I want to address it because I always want us to be honest. Have you ever wondered at the resurrection which body you're going to get? And that may be initially, so what will our new bodies look like? I want us to be gracious about this. I know that there are people in this room who have lost miscarried babies, okay? Will we come back as infants? I think about my dear friend and so many others that I've stood here in this space and had celebration of life funerals for. Everyone who is from 92 years old to 36 years old, right? And I think, which one? What are you going to get? Is Thelma going to come back as a 92-year-old, you know? And I think that's the wrong question. It's the wrong question of what God can do and accomplish in us. N.T. Wright says this, Jesus is both the model for the Christian's future body and the means by which it will come. What we know for certain is that you will have a physical, resurrected, restored, healed, and whole body. When Jesus rose from the dead, he remained true God and true man. And this is probably one of my favorite teachings. I did not coin this. A dear friend did. That at the ascension, Jesus did not zip out of his man suit and fly to the Father, right? Jesus is, let this just make sense for you. Jesus is right now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory as true God and true man. Jesus is flesh and bone and blood now in eternity at the right hand of the Father. And when he comes again, he will restore these broken bodies, heal, make whole and new who you are right now, glorified and beautiful in his sight, forgiven and restored. That's what we have. And it's all made possible by what Jesus has done for us. I'm going to try to explain this phrase. I love this. Resurrection, Easter, describes the life of eternity, the life that we have after this life, after death. Did you track that? We will have this beautiful eternal life in these bodies, restored and healed and made whole. But in the meantime, God calls us to this. That whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. And so here's what I want to challenge us with today. And this is not, you know, time to lose weight, people. Get in shape, people, okay? It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a steward of the temple of God. And you let that land where the Holy Spirit needs to move you, okay? How will you steward this body, this temple, with all of its brokenness and aches and pains, with ongoing health, struggles and challenges, all of those things? How will you steward that well for the purpose of as best, with as much strength as you possibly can, to care for and steward the lives of the bodies that surround you? who are loved radically by God. How will we do that? Have those conversations with the Lord, with yourself, with your friends, and see where the Lord leads you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for every life in this room, every body in this room. You have knit us together in our mother's womb, that we were known and seen in the womb. From conception, Lord God, you have known us. You have known the days that would come, whether short or long. And you are with us and faithful through it all. And so we pray today by the power of the Holy Spirit, in what you have created, Lord God, that we would steward well these bodies, these vessels entrusted to us, that out of them would proclaim the wonders of our God, his faithfulness and love, so that the bodies that we encounter, the very lives that surround us, would know that they are loved, redeemed, claimed, and they will too be restored one day. All of this, King Jesus, is for your glory and for our joy. And we love you. Amen.